inside a captured T-80 Russian tank that the Ukrainian army has repaired.
This week.
And it's going to use against them.
On KSL Plus.
This is not a video game where you can reset, get an extra life. They're headed off to war. They're headed to the Eastern Front.
One Utah veteran's mission to Ukraine.
Every time that we've gone back there, we've been able to just take this road here.
To support refugees.
It's going to be challenging, but I think they will be able to...
And show Ukrainians that Americans care.
To hold on and, again, in the long run, win.
I'm Matt Rascone, and this is KSL TV's digital-only news show and podcast. And this week, we follow the story of Quan Nguyen, a former refugee from Vietnam and a U.S. Marine veteran living in Kaysville.
And a man now on a mission to help the people of Ukraine.
Always understood how horrible life is as a refugee. I mean,
more than 40 years ago, as a young boy, Quan Nguyen fled Vietnam with his family.
The second one was a lot better.
They spent time in a couple of refugee camps.
We lost our country to communism, and my dad decided to get us out of there, so I was a refugee. Pretty much got everything that you need. Tourniquet, bandages.
My colleague Jed Bull has interviewed Quan several times over the last couple of months.
Antibiotics, that's a huge one.
Following his journey to help the people of
the
Ukraine.
The last couple days of attack is obviously burns.
Here's part of Jed's conversation with Quan at the end of what turned into a two-month humanitarian mission to Ukraine.
What do you think was the most valuable thing that you were able to do to help the Ukrainian people? Why was it important for you to be there?
I think... I don't think it was necessarily the logistics, because obviously the Red Cross, other organizations can do it at scale. I think it was more, at least what I got was the fact that America cared. That was what I thought was important for the people of Ukraine, was to see that Americans cared, and they would ask me, oh, are you getting paid for this? Nope. I'm just volunteering here, just like a lot of other Americans, a lot of other Europeans. I think that was the big takeaway, was the fact that Ukrainians didn't think that they were there by themselves, because I think at first they thought they were.
Again, water filters, the rockets hit the utilities, obviously that goes down.
As a Marine, Nguyen served in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan and has skills to help out.
Spent 10 years overseas, so I'm pretty used to it.
He's not naive about what he's getting into, and he has a plan.
I'm not going to the front lines. I think that's the difference.
A fellow Marine veteran living in western Ukraine has set up a safe house to help those who are fleeing with a place to stay, critical supplies, and transportation.
We can't help everybody, but just knowing that you were able to be part of somebody's journey, helping them escape, who knows, that person could be the person that cures cancer.
His wife, Amy, was supportive immediately.
I know who he is and his heart, and I am beyond proud of him for taking a stand against evil.
Jed spoke to Quan several more times while he was overseas, on the ground, getting a firsthand look at what Ukrainians were going through and the help they need.
They're strong. They love their country.
After only one day in Ukraine, Quan Nguyen can tell Ukrainians are resilient. Most refugees left loved ones behind, the elderly and those who can fight.
Sometimes it's just heartbreaking just thinking about.
Nguyen talked to me from the quiet streets of Lviv, where many Ukrainians pass before going to the Polish border. Nguyen was born in Vietnam and lived in refugee camps before coming to the U.S. as a kid. So the plight of these refugees hits home. His focus?
Take care of the people that are coming through, getting the medical supplies out to the front lines and seeing how much more we can buy locally or get people who are coming in from Poland to buy it for us.
His fellow Marine had already opened his home for refugees.
Refugees, women, children staying there. They brought in their pets, etc. So they're, they get a chance to shower. They get a chance to rest. They may stay here for a day or two. They're fed, and then they go on their way.
On the surface, he says, you cannot tell the country is under siege in Lviv.
My main mission and our main mission is humanitarian. I'm not going to the front line, so I'm not focused on that. I'm keeping a wary eye on that because that's my background, and that does help.
So far, Quan Nguyen and his friend have helped 30 families escape Ukraine, mostly women and children. He feels that they are making a difference and that they are safe from the war, at least for now.
It definitely does feel a little bit more dangerous.
But Quan Nguyen tells me the Russian shelling and assaults are still a safe distance from Lviv. He spoke to me from the quiet city center.
The only time that it is a little bit frantic, as I mentioned before, is when you have the air sirens.
Air raid sirens, more common now than a week ago, adding to a sense of impending trouble among the people.
They hope that something doesn't happen, but they're also planning.
The Marine veterans provide shelter for refugees who have left Kyiv, Lutsk, and other cities under attack.
They get some peace and quiet, especially for the kids. We've got some toys for them to play with. So that's basically what we've been able to do.
They give the Ukrainian families healthy food, a bed, and a way to the border. They celebrated a birthday with one woman whose family leaves her homeland tomorrow. The Marine veterans signed a lease on another house yesterday so they can double the number of families they help. As for the resolve of the Ukrainians who have stayed to fight,
they're not going anywhere. This is their home. This is it.
When Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed American lawmakers,
it seemed like afterward there was definitely a bump of energy. But, you know, everybody that you talk to, they still wish for victory. They still wish for peace.
Safe for now in Lviv, but for how long?
Worst case scenario, yes, we would leave. We just don't know when. You know, we'd like to try to stay here as long as possible because we are able to have a lot of impact.
And again, this is
school number 25, where children are studying.
Okay, what age group is this?
From the first day to 11th.
There's definitely heightened sense, and you see a lot of soldiers walking around. You see a lot of civilians walking around with guns.
Task Force 824 operates a safe house in Lviv for families fleeing the fighting. Those refugees told them about loved ones left behind in Kyiv who still needed help.
I'm leaving my parents behind. They're too old. Is there somebody that can check up on them to see that they've got medication, groceries?
So Nguyen went to Kyiv.
I went to the grocery store today, bought a bunch of groceries, and gave it to them.
The Russians have intensified the assault on Kyiv. Here's Nguyen taping a window in anticipation of flying shrapnel. But you cannot always tell the city is under siege until the sirens sound.
Okay, we just had a air raid siren, so I'm going to kind of pay attention to what's going on. I'm going to actually move away from the windows and turn off.
He turned out the lights and headed for the bathroom.
Close the door. Well, lately, it's definitely been a lot more.
Despite intensifying warfare, Nguyen says the Ukrainian people are optimistic they can repel the Russians.
They're going back on the offensive. They're taking some towns back. It should be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. So I'll play it by ear.
Nguyen says recent pledges of arms support from the international community has given new strength to the resistance.
You can feel the energy. Definitely after getting the commitment from the international community to get the arms and just the success of their military, they're definitely emboldened, no doubt about that.
So you were able to really help people. You were helping with transportation,
yep.
Helping people get from one place to another.
Yeah.
You were helping with those
the water purification pens.
That was talk about. I knew that we were going to Bucha. I didn't know what was needed. I mean, I had an idea based on my experience in war zones. So I packed everything that I had, and we're driving around. I mean, obviously, we were handing out medical equipment, whatnot, and food, because definitely there was a lack of food there. The Russians had destroyed the infrastructure, so no electricity. And then we were driving down this, this small street, and then off to the corner, like literally a small little alleyway, you could see, and I think it was the picture where it was the water boiling, and we kind of stopped, backtracked, and then just kind of went out and were hoping to talk to the people, and they came out of hiding, and they offered us tea and coffee, and then we kind of, we were caught up in hospitality, and then it got brought up, we have to boil water, we don't have running water anymore, we've been collecting rainwater, some people have been, draining the water from the battery, and then it just, besides all the other stuff that I had, it's like, oh my gosh, I've got water filters, let me give it to you, and it was just perfect. I mean, it's just, and I think that's the other takeaway is you never know, in your toolkit, what they might need. But if you just go out there and talk to them and try to connect everybody together. So, yeah, that was amazing.
This has been the most destruction that I have seen.
That and the senseless killing of so many Ukrainians weighed heavily on Kwan Wen's mind as he toured Bucha with other volunteers.
Today's definitely been a tougher day just because that the areas that you drove through, the bodies were there.
Streets are strewn with civilian vehicles riddled with bullets.
It was a family just trying to escape during one of the, one of the times where they said people could evacuate, and they get shot at.
There are also disabled tanks left by retreating Russian troops.
The infrastructure was pretty much tore up by the Russian troops. So I figured that I at least had these drinking straws.
He handed out water purification pens donated by friends in Utah.
What better place than Bucha, where they, no electricity, no running water.
At the same time, the Ukrainians are trying to determine what atrocities were committed. He says war crimes investigators and prosecutors are interviewing people and taking pictures.
But that's what stood out for me, was just how many teams that were out there investigating, and how important it is to the Ukrainian people that these war crimes are investigated, documented.
Nguyen and several friends are still helping families flee areas under attack, meeting with a group of regional leaders to find out how they can help the most.
You see it just shock, horror, and just hoping that those perpetrators are eventually held responsible by the International Criminal Court.
So you ended up spending nearly 2 months there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you have so much to give?
Yeah, I think it goes back. Two things. You guys know that my family and I came from Vietnam. We escaped after the Vietnam War, after Saigon fell to communists, and the first time we didn't make it out, our fishing boat, literally the boat died, so we were stranded out there for a couple weeks. So we were rationing water, but we were in refugee camps almost for about a year, and the refugee camps that we were in were just horrible conditions. Again, no running water, I think at the time, the Malaysian government was doing its best with what it could. So that was definitely a huge driving point for me through all my life. Is that I've always had a special place for refugees, regardless of their political, religious background, because I've gone through it. And being in a refugee camp, you've got rampant disease, crime, et cetera. It sucks. And then the other part is, from the military side, I knew I wanted to help, but what kept me going was how therapeutic it ended up being for me. I didn't realize it was, you know, when I think about my experiences in uniform and out of uniform, I'd have to say that what I've been doing is just, at least this part of my life, maybe had you talked to me in my, while I was in uniform, it would have been different. But yeah, it's definitely very therapeutic as a combat veteran, being able to go back there and help people. And you almost feel what they're going through because, you know, I don't have a weapon. I'm going in there just like what I have. Okay, I had a pocket knife and I guess whatever knife I could pick up. And I guess I could have picked up a weapon somewhere. But, you know, you feel, I don't want to say defenseless, but you feel what they're going through is like they somewhat don't have any control. So, I mean, that's where I got my energy from.
When Quan Nguyen first arrived in Ukraine, he was only focused on providing humanitarian aid raised with his wife and fellow veterans through his organization, TF824.org. But due to the dire circumstances, he's now also helping troops.
In order to stop the killing of innocent Ukrainians, Ukraine has to win, period.
For that reason, Quan Nguyen recently helped train Ukrainian troops headed to defend the Eastern Front against the Russians. In the course of his humanitarian work, the Ukrainians discovered that Nguyen's experience as a Marine could be helpful. He was asked to assess some of their tactics.
People are still dying. So if there's anything that I could do while still maintaining my mission to help that, then I will.
The Ukrainians wanted suggestions.
I walked away basically telling them there's nothing for me to, no advice for me to give to you.
Their tactics are sound, he says, as long as they have the weapon systems they need.
Minus the language barrier, I thought I was in some training back in the U.S.
Ukrainians also using weapons seized from the Russians.
Inside a captured T-80 Russian tank that the Ukrainian army has repaired and it's going to use against them.
The consequences are life and death. This is not a video game where you can reset, get an extra life. This is serious business. But yeah, they're headed off to war. They're headed to the Eastern Front.
And you want to go back. Why is a return trip important?
I think the first time around, I knew that I had an idea of what I thought I could do, what they needed. And that trip was an eye-opener for me. It validated some things. It now I have an idea of what needs to be done, things that could be done a lot better. So that's the reason for going back. And there's still going to be a ongoing need no matter what. Even, let's say, again, like I said, when they win, not if, there's going to be the reverse influx of displaced Ukrainians coming back from wherever they're at, whether it's somewhere in the EU, whatnot, back into Ukraine. And we've already seen this. There's still a lot to be done, and especially with the reconstruction, there's a lot of things that we could do.
That does it for us this week here on KSL Plus. I'm Matt Rascone. We'll see you again next week.